You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, it's the day after carnage again in Wall Street. It's June 14th, 2022. And well, the question is, how do you survive this? So we got massive inflation. Inflation, they say peak inflation is here. No, peak inflation is down the road, perhaps 6 months to a year, perhaps several years down the road. Inflation's not going away. What's that doing to real estate? Is real estate a hedge against inflation, or is it just like any other investment? Well, we've got Alejandro Tsitsa with us now. Alejandro, it's great to have you on the show. You're an established mortgage broker. You've been doing this for going on 20 years. Your website, prosperity-lending.com, gives a lot of info about it. What are you seeing right now in the real estate market?
Thank you, Carrie. Let me say that thank you for having me on your show. The real estate market has confusing signals because, as you know, it's driven by demand and interest rate. Basically, when you buy a house, you are leveraging your income into a purchase. With the rates having gone up about 2%, in about 2 months, in the last 2 to 3 months, that has put a cooling effect. You know, here where we are in Southern California, it's pretty much put a damping effect on it. But it's one thing for another. I'll give you an example. I have a client that is looking to buy a home. His home is on the high end. He's looking to buy a $2.5 million home. So when he started to look at this home, let's say March of this year, March of 2022,
right,
he will be looking at a rate in his case, you know, because he's going through with the bank statement program. Mm-hmm. because of the particular job that he has, you know, he was looking at probably a 5% rate. Now the same house, the same loan, it's for him in the high 6s to 7, which is good, quote unquote, compared to what's around. Mm-hmm. So for him, that means that, you know, on a $2 million loan, the 2% difference is quite a bit.
Right.
So basically, he's now stopping a little bit and he's waiting it out because he believes that prices should come down a little bit, and they will. But it's one thing for another. Either you have a very low rate and you pay a high price, which translates into a certain mortgage payment, or you pay a lesser price but a higher rate, and you end up with pretty much the same mortgage payment. So it's one thing for another.
Mm-hmm. So what about inventory? Are you starting to see more houses become available? Because we've had a real housing shortage here, haven't we?
Right. But it is by design more than because of market forces. That inventory is because of the restrictive laws. I don't know about other parts of the country, but in this state, in Southern California, in Northern California, it's pretty much the government, it's the local governments, and it's the state governments that for decades, they have been restricting basically the supply of homes. And made it very expensive, made it incredibly complicated and risky for developers to build anything. Now, it's like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So I'm not trying to blame all of the government officials. Some of them are trying to right the situation, but it's not, you know, like when you're in a private company, you have a sort of agreement or a sort of working together. In the government, it doesn't work that way. Some people try to do some things, others try to do the opposite. So you get a mishmash of intentions, and in the end, you get a confused signals to the developers. They don't really know what to do. And to make a long story short, this supply is the same with the water. You know, in California, there is enough water for everyone, as you know, but half of it is dumped into the ocean. So with building, it's something similar.
Okay. So we got this housing shortage. It's not going away.
No.
But as housing becomes less affordable, then people are going to be renting more, right?
Yes. Now, it depends on the location. Now, here in Orange County, you have a lot of new developments, you know, new communities and new housing is just coming, you know, like crazy. You have like hundreds and hundreds of houses that are becoming online. So
yeah,
it doesn't behave the same way in every county.
So every real estate market is local, effectively, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And in Florida here, we've got tons of building, but we got tons of people moving in. And we still have, I've noticed recently, anecdotally, that I think there's more supply coming online. But, you know, it's still very tight.
Yes, I read a survey that says that, I don't know if it's by day or by week, you have 1,300 people on average moving into Florida.
Yeah, I guess they're all coming from California, huh?
Yes, I don't blame them. Florida is doing really great. It's doing pretty much the opposite of what most states are doing, but it is what most states should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons for it. I don't want to, like, go into this because it's politics and stupidity and governmental stupidity, everything else. But when even your wealthiest person in the state moves out to go to Texas for greener pastures and no state income tax, you got a problem there. But yeah, Nonetheless, California for the time being is still the most populous state. As people move out, more people move in, all these things. So the question is, like, how do you navigate this? You know, we are the Financial Survival Network. How do you survive the turmoil that's going on now? And what part of your plan, your survival plan, should real estate be or take part in?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. I would say that one thing is the theory, one thing is the macro, and one thing is what you control, and one thing is what you can do. I would say you have to have an eye on what is happening internationally, what is happening in your state, but that should not be your main driving factor, because those are things that you cannot control. What you can control is what you do with your money, what you do with your income, how you actually leverage it. I had these discussions many times with financial planners and financial, people in the financial world. And I always contrast the theory with the practice. It's like life insurance, you know? In life insurance, you have this saying, buy term, invest the difference. That's a theoretical concept. In practice, it doesn't work. Same thing with real estate. For the average person, even for the average well-to-do person or wealthy person, real estate, in my opinion, is still a way to leverage your income, and is still a way to acquire an asset that you're going to use and that is going to provide you with a certain degree of appreciation and a certain degree of wealth. I say a certain degree because in California, you could rent something for $3,000 and the same property to buy it, you will be spending $4,500. So it's a little bit upside down. Like in Florida, you could buy a house, you could pay a mortgage for $2,500, and the mortgage would be more or less equivalent with a little bit of difference to the rental amount, you know? So it makes sense, you know, it makes sense. Instead of paying $2,500 for renting, why don't you pay $2,500 for a mortgage? But here in California, even though the equation is like a little bit upside down, in my opinion, you still are better off. And let me tell you why very simply. I will never forget this. I was in my 20s. I went to a seminar in England in the 90s. And this guy was a financial consultant from Germany. And he said this. He said, in order to make a saving, you have to make that saving a necessary expense. You have to make it a bill. Because if you don't, you won't do it. And that brings me back to the example of buy term and invest the difference. It's like, yeah, theoretically it works, but you're not going to do it. Why? Because if you have to send $300 away for savings, you're not going to do it. But if you have a bill that says you have to pay $3,000 or else, you're going to do it.
Then it becomes automatic.
It becomes automatic. And one thing that I noticed that it's missing on real estate blogs, on real estate discussions, is the payment of principal. The payment of principal is the number one reason why you should have real estate. Not so much the appreciation. Before all of this propaganda and before all of these TV shows, you know, That was what people concentrated on for hundreds of years. What happens is this. When you send in the mortgage payment, a part of that payment is building wealth, not because of appreciation, not because you bought the right house, not because the economy is doing well. It's because the bank is forcing you to save. Yeah, and that's something forced. That is not mentioned.
That's called forced savings. And
yes.
That's the same thing. You can set it up on your pay. If you're an employee, it's easier than if you're self-employed, but you can still do it where every month your account, your bank account gets debited and the money gets put into savings of some sort, whether you're buying cryptos, stocks, bonds, whatever. You automate the process. You take the conscious decision out of it. I think that's what you're saying. And that is what real estate does when you build up principal over time. Granted, it takes a long time, but do you tell people, do you get a 15-year or a 30-year mortgage? What's your take there?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable, high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
My take is this. Bills are your enemy. I try to make bills as little as I can. So if the person can qualify for a 15-year mortgage, I tell them, get a 40-year mortgage or a 30-year mortgage and pay it as if you were paying a 15-year mortgage, because this is what happens. And this is another thing that, in my opinion, is not discussed enough. If your coupon, meaning your mortgage bill at the end of the month, is $3,000, that means that's the minimum the bank expects from you. You can give them any other amount that you wish. So get a 30 or 40-year mortgage and send them a 15-year mortgage payment. Now, something happens, your cash flow goes down, because we service, the entrepreneur, we service the small business owner, and small business owners or independent professionals have a varying cash flow. So when cash flow is going down, guess what? Because you have a 30 or a 40-year mortgage, your bill is going to be small and you're going to be able to make the payment, because only when you're not able to make the payment is when you run into trouble. So don't set yourself up to lose. If you have a 15-year payment, that payment is going to be high no matter what for 15 years. If something happens during those 15 years, you'll be screwed. You won't have control. So that's what I tell them. The rate is really immaterial when you control the volume of interest. There is a difference between rate and volume of interest. And I'm going to give you a very quick example. Years ago, I bought a car for my wife from a credit union. The rate was 6%. All my friends said, oh, you're just so bad. You could have had a 2% interest. You don't know what you're doing. You're supposed to be in the financial world. But guess what? That was a five-year loan. I paid it in a year and a half. Once I added up the volume, remember, the volume, meaning the quantity of interest that I paid about 1.5%, even though the rate on the note was 6. You can do the same thing with real estate. So that's a little bit of a long-winded explanation to answer your question.
That's not really that long-winded. So, but on the other hand, we got this inflation. So the slower you pay back your mortgage, the cheaper the dollars you get to pay it back on. So do you really want to be debt-free in an inflationary time, or is debt your best friend?
Well,
make the payments.
Let me tell you the story that I will never forget. When I was starting my career, my broker says, you speak Spanish, right? I said, yes, I do. And he said, go and help this couple. They don't understand what is going on. They don't have a real estate agent, because at the time in California, with a real estate license, you could do the real estate part and you could do the loan at the same time. He says, you'll get double commission. So I went to help them. And this man told me the story. He bought in Mexico a property that cost, at the time in the 80s, 50,000 pesos. Those 50,000 pesos was really hard for him. That represented an enormous amount of money. The payment, even though it was just a couple of hundred pesos a month, was really, really hard. Then in inflation, then in Mexico, there was a huge inflation, a devaluation of the currency.
Yeah.
And then what happened is the 50,000 pesos became so little that later, with 3 months of work, he just paid it off. Now, that has never happened in America, in the United States, but I have seen it in Chile. I'm from Chile, and I remember between 1971 to 1974, that happened there. Not because it's never happened here, it means that it won't happen. And the world is so crazy right now that many people are predicting this is going to happen in America.
It doesn't have to happen like that. I mean, that's similar to pre-war or post-World War One Germany, the Weimar Republic, where a guy supposedly was a bellman at a hotel, and he received a $20 gold piece as a tip. And 3 years later, he used that $20 gold piece to buy that hotel. And you have stories of creditors running from their debtors who are paying off their debt. But if your dollar has become worth 10% less every year, so that means in 7.2 years, basically, you're going to owe, in real terms, half of what you owed when you took out the mortgage. That's a pretty good deal. And if the value of the property keeps up with inflation, your property will be worth what it was then, but your actual debt on the property will be, in real terms, 50% of what it was. So if you bought a piece of property for $500,000 and just assume you got 100% financing, you owe $500,000. 10 years later, the value of the currency is more than declined by 50%. At that point, you still owe the $500,000 less your principal payments, but the property is now worth $1 million. You know, you kind of made out like a bandit there, right?
Exactly. And when you look at the behavior or the appreciation of property in general over time, you see exactly what you said. There are periods where appreciation goes really crazy, periods where it goes under. But in the main, a home, you know, historically will continue to, you know, parallel inflation. So like you said, you know, the dollars become cheaper and cheaper. I always tell my clients, make sure you can make this payment for 5 years. And they go, well, why 5 years? This is a 30-year mortgage. I say, yes, the first 5 years are going to be tough. At the year number six, amount is not going to change. But inflation would make the payment seem lower, seem easier. And then you will be in a better. So make sure that for 5 years, you can really do this.
Alejandro, I really appreciate your coming on and talking about this, especially having experienced it in Latin America. It's what my good friend Jason Hartman calls inflation-induced debt destruction. And also, as he explains, houses, besides the land cost, the land value, what determines the value of your house is it's a bunch of commodities literally under one roof. You got copper, you've got concrete, you got doors, windows, all this stuff. And it's all commodities. And I guess in the end, everything is just sand. But the fact is that as the price of all the commodities that make up your home go up, the value, or not necessarily the value, but the price of your home after inflation goes up. So real estate, what about cash flowing real estate? What if you're newly married, just out of college, got jobs, so you buy a duplex or a quad? Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I would say one caveat or thing to worry about, or not to worry about, to take into consideration is this. When you buy a duplex or any kind of investment property, you have to take a percentage out and put it on a repairs fund. Almost no one does that. Realtors don't advise you to do that. You see all of these spreadsheets and financial analysis. No one takes that into consideration. If you're going to buy that kind of property, and if you can take 5 to 10%, depending on the volume, out, and still it pencils out, then buy it. Another thing that people don't take into account is when you're buying an investment property and you're calculating your rate of return, don't calculate only the cash flow you get on your down payment, which is basically your rate of return. Add the equity that your tenants are building in for you and add a little bit of the tax write-off that you're getting for the property to get a real vision or a real view of what your rate of return is. And I'm going to give you a quick example. I was doing that the other day for a client. If you only take the cash flow and you measure it against the down payment, his rate of return was like 2%. And it seemed really low, better than the bank, but really low. Once you added the equity that the tenant was paying for him and building for him, and you added a little bit of the taxes, not everything, not just everything, just a third of his savings in taxes, he jumped from 2 to 12% return. So this is how much we're missing out. We're not taking into account the whole picture. And that's even considering a little deduction to keep aside for repairs.
Yeah, 5 to 10%, totally reasonable, because at some point you're going to need to do work, whether it's a furnace, hot water heater, roof, all these things got to be done. And definitely, you know, I like an income property to buying this thing that's going to basically, you're borrowing money to buy this piece of real estate, and then you're sticking somebody else with the bill and they pay it.
Yeah.
So that's a good deal. Anytime you could get anyone else, someone else to pay your debts, then you're doing the right thing.
It's not just your debts, it's your equity. They are building equity for you.
Exactly. They're building equity and they're paying your debt. So paying your interest, they're paying your principal. Alejandro, it's really been great speaking with you. We're definitely going to have you on again. Just tell people out there, how do you get in contact with Alejandro? What states do you work in, and how you can help them?
Yes, we work in California and Florida. You can contact me by sending me an email at info@prosperitylending.us. That's info@prosperitylending.us. The website is the same. It's the one that you saw, or www.prosperitylending.us. And then we specialize on the small business owner, professional, and artist. Those are the people that usually fall through the cracks of the lending machine because they don't fit a particular box. You know, we see this all the time. People are being rejected. People don't qualify for the mortgage, even though they have the money, even though they have the income. So that's our specialty.
All right. We'd like to hear that, because I've been telling you out there for years, at least the last 3 years, seeing this inflation thing about to take off. Buy a home. It is your best way to protect yourself against inflation. You know, on Financial Survival Network recently just did a thing, you know, electric rates are going to double throughout the country in the next 18 months. So one of the ways you can hedge your bets is through real estate, also through futures contracts. We won't get into that now. In any event, if you got a question from Alejandro, you can always send me an email. KL@KerryLutz.com. Don't forget, when you go to the site, sign up for financialsurvivalnetwork.com's weekly newsletter. Just shot one out today. We'll send you a copy. Alejandro, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kerry. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.